This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
On WhatsApp, no one can see or hear your personal messages. Whether it's a voice call, message, or sending a password. To WhatsApp, it's all just this. So whether you're sharing the streaming password in the family chat or trading those late-night voice messages that could basically become a podcast, your personal messages stay between you, your friends, and your family. No one else. Not even us. WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone.
Let's do this.
Is the Rich Eisen Show
with guest host Andrew Siciliano.
The kick is no good.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I get a lot of fans, including my father.
Son? Yeah, Dad.
Who stop me and say, why are you talking about the Cowboys? Because this story right here moves the needle.
Today's guests, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, Pro Football Hall of Famer Joe Thomas, longtime golf writer Alan Shipnuck, and now, sitting in for Rich, it's Andrew Siciliano.
Hey, it's Substitute Teacher Day at the ballpark. Hope everyone is doing well. Hi, everybody.
Hey, buddy.
Welcome to another day, as I adjust the microphone here, of the Rich Eisen Show.
There was a 6-2 guy sitting there yesterday.
I am not Seth freaking Rollins. I am Michael Thompson, my old radio partner. Hi, I'm Andrew Siciliano, by the way. Michael Thompson, my old radio partner, former number one overall pick, and now known as father of Clay Thompson, right? He's a huge wrestling fan.
Megan Thee Stallion father?
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking about going there as well, but I did not. Good for you,
might
Clay.
Well.
Tip of the cap. All right, keep it going. Much love. Michael used to always refer to a wrestler, Hogsworth.
The little Irish guy.
Yeah, and I'm like, exactly. Yeah, I'm like, how do you not know who that is? I'm like, Michael, I'm an adult. I don't watch that.
Oh,
stuff.
Here he goes.
First of all, number two, I'm like, sorry, I don't know all the random. Like, I appeared in an episode once in season three characters of your favorite primetime drama. So I'm sorry. I'm not tall. Anyway, but we're happy that you're here,
I'm not
Seth Rollins. Seth was great. I'm here. He did a great job. I saw some clips. He's a very, very, very talented dude.
I was shocked you didn't come in wearing, a sequin jumpsuit and giant sunglasses. That's all.
You know what? I just sent him to Goodwill last week. I forgot to do it right before Christmas tax donation time. I just took him out of there. Let's say hi to the entire crew. Chris Brockman, it is great to see your shining bald head. How are you, my friend?
I've had a rough week. I've been sick all week. I've lost like 10 pounds.
Oh, no.
The jawline looks a little sharper.
Ten pounds?
Yeah, haven't eaten much.
What do you got?
Are you contagious? No, not contagious.
Okay.
Just a little stomach.
You sure?
I think I'm okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Little stomach thing?
Yeah.
We don't need that imagery, but thank
you. No, you don't, but I'm good.
Okay.
Good. Baseball's back.
Red Sox today.
Hottest team in baseball. Going to Wrigley this weekend. Should be fun.
There was nothing to watch last night, although I did finish Quarterback on Netflix. Fantastic. But before I did that, I'm like, there's nothing to watch. I'm going to go see a movie. So I went to see The Superman.
To be single with no kids.
Oh, to be single with no kids. That's another issue right now. But yes, went to see The Superman. It was good. Review coming up. It was in Cleveland, by the way, a lot of it. I don't know if you guys knew that. A lot of it, like the final shot in the arcade, some other shots. Great scene, obviously, at what used to be Jacobs Field, now Progressive Field. Big battle at the ballpark. It was awesome. They needed Albert Bell for that battle in the ballpark. That would have made it that much more.
Albert Bell just like flexing.
I was at that game as well. Game one, divisional series after 1995, after in the rain, he tied the game off Aguilera. Jason Feller, how the heck are you?
Hey, what's up,
buddy?
Andrew?
Hey.
Doing great.
I just got back from Tokyo. I'm looking at your Dodger hat. More on that later.
Okay.
Everywhere I go in Tokyo now. Well, now. Hadn't been there in years. Dodger hats. Dodger hats everywhere you go. Wonder why. Every single Dodger game is on TV there with Joe Davis and Oral Hershiser.
Wow.
Not like a Japanese feed.
Joe
like
Davis, international.
Joe wow. Davis live, konnichiwa, in Tokyo, right? Now, I don't know if they run those awful local Oral Hershiser car commercials.
They're so bad. God,
that always run during Monday Night Football or Thursday Night Football. I don't remember.
They're brutal.
Are those online? They have to be online. We need to send out to the audience. I'm sure the dealership here would love it. The Oral Hershiser, they've been going for years now. These local car commercials, like almost to the in every local market, there's that one really awkward commercial where it looks like it was produced even with today's production ability. Like, where's my phone? This thing right here that I hold in my pocket. All of you have one of these as well, right? This thing right here has more television producing power than, and I mean this, any local TV station's entire building, say the year 2000.
Oh, yeah.
Truly. Like I tell, when I talk to kids at Syracuse, I'm like, I graduated in the 90s. And when I graduated, we had the top of the line, like everything at SU. Yep. But like, if you take all the computing power and all the television production power out of that building in that year, Brockman, goes for you as well. Mm-hmm. This one phone in your pocket is more powerful. With all that said, some local TV commercials are just the worst things you've ever seen. And this thing with Hershiser is so bad here locally. I think it's almost a bit at this point. Like they want it to be corny. Either way, I don't know if they show those in Japan. Hopefully they do. TJ Jefferson, also huge in Japan. Good to see you, sir.
In Japan, they call me Ichiban. TJ,
number one. There you go.
Yes.
You know your Japanese numbers. Ichi, Nissan, Shi, Go, Roku, Hichi, Hachi, Kyuju. Good for you, buddy.
Well, I mean, now that you just gave them all away, I can't say it. So thanks.
I just counted to 10.
Yeah, I was going to do it, but you just took it from me.
I could say like 10 things in Japanese, and they're all numbered 1 to 10.
I can say Shinsuke Nakamura.
I have no idea. Oh, him. Yeah, gotcha. Yes. There you go.
Hideki Matsuyama.
Yes.
I can say Nibiru Onegaishimasu.
He's a golfer. Yeah.
Two beers, please.
And Deo Nomo.
Yeah, the Deo Nomo. That's a good one.
EO Sky is the most important Japanese thing I know. So
I could say, Okanjo onegaishimasu jamata. Like, hey, check please, see you later. That's about it. That was awful. All right, let's tell what's going on for the show today. Coming up, Tom Pelissero will be here with all the NFL news. Hall of Famer Joe Thomas will be here to tell you who to start at quarterback this year for the Browns in your fantasy league. Also, do you know that he's a cattle man these days?
Hold on. If you're starting a Browns quarterback in fantasy, your team is a disaster.
No. I'm going to tell you right now.
I'm
going to tell you right now.
I can say that.
If Joe Flacco is starting week one at home against Cincinnati, you're playing Joe Flacco.
He's a top 12 quarterback week one.
Well, you and your one quarterback fantasy leagues. I play in a real league where you play two quarterbacks.
Wow. That is not a real league, my friend.
I take the easy way out with the low-hanging fruit. Let's just play the stars league.
Wait a minute. So you get points from both quarterbacks?
You have to play two.
Yeah,
and it's a 14.
Your league is an anomaly.
It's a 14 team league as well.
Yeah, that's not normal.
Okay. Wait, not super flex, just a straight up 2 QB league.
You got to play 2 QBs.
Wow.
Yeah, it's miserable. Okay.
But that actually seems like it. I don't know. I got to decide if that would work or not.
It's miserable. Alan Shipnuck will be here as well. The golf is going. British Open. I'm sorry, the Open Championship. And it's raining. We'll give you that update coming up shortly as well. Let's get to the NFL. TJ,
what
has a new deal?
What?
I don't know that there was really any thought that it wasn't going to happen. With all the news, you know, because there is no news the last couple of weeks. Well, maybe they're listening to trades. I don't think that was ever going to happen. The numbers, and I want to see the real numbers. 3 years, 123, 108 guaranteed at signing. It's 41 APY. And that's the number, 40 meaning average per year. That is the number that they had to hit. And that was the number that my 10-year-old nephew could have told you they were going to hit 41 APY, meaning $41 million average per year. Why? Because Myles Garrett was $40 million average per year. When, if you go back the last couple of weeks and look at the reporting or the speculation that maybe the Steelers would trade TJ Watt, you have to consider a couple of things. The Aaron Rodgers trade, the Jalen Ramsey, or trade signing, the Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith and DK Metcalf. You're not going to make all those moves and not bring back TJ.
Exactly.
Number two is that any team that were to trade for TJ, first of all, it's after the draft, so those picks would not in any way assist the Steelers this year in their let's ride or die season. But also, any team that would trade for him would have to give him the contract the Steelers just gave him. And for a player whose age begins with a 3, NFL teams don't do that. They just don't. You could trade for Jalen Ramsey, for example, who's about to turn 30, but you don't necessarily have to give him a new deal. Matter of fact, the Dolphins eat some of the money. So it doesn't work that way. And so for teams or for fans that say, well, let's trade for Trey Hendrickson. Great. His age begins with a 3. He wants to get paid a deal similar to TJ Watt, which sadly I don't think he is going to get. And then you have to give up the picks as well. It ain't going to happen. So TJ Watt gets his 41 APY, $41 million average per year, and this in all likelihood will be his final big contract. At this point, for guys like TJ, maybe for Miles, I think Miles has a little more staying power here, and for potentially Trey Hendrickson, you will eventually get to the point where you're doing Von Miller-type deals, which are basically 1 year. They'll dress them up as more. Maybe they'll be 2-year commitments, but they're in a different economic stratosphere. The Steelers had to do this deal. You don't get Aaron Rodgers, trade for and pay DK Metcalf, bring in Jalen Ramsey, bring in BFF of Arthur Smith, Jonnu Smith. You don't do all those things and then get rid of TJ. The season for the Steelers, and I know you're already sick of the attention, to me, will be far more interesting than anything the Cowboys do. Far more interesting than maybe any other storyline in the NFL.
What we got to do with this?
Because it's either boom or bust. Sorry, TJ. We'll get to the Cowboys later because they do link to this story. It is boom or bust, and it has to be boom or bust. All the cynics that say, oh, they're going to go 9-8 again, or they're going to get in at 10-7, or 8-8 and eke in with a wild card, 8-9, and then lose in the wild card round or be 1-done, regardless of how they get in. Maybe they win the division, but are still 1-done. There is no worse scenario for the Pittsburgh Steelers than being 1-done here. If I am a Steeler fan, I am not. I was raised right. If I am a Steeler fan, I am hoping for Super Bowl or top 5 pick. There can be no in between. Like, if it goes badly, it has to go horribly. Because if you are picking at 20 or 21 again, you've gained nothing. Mm-hmm. You're spinning your tires. Because then Rodgers isn't back, and you are in no position to go get the future franchise guy that you so desperately need and have been trying to find. And maybe you have it in Will Howard. I hope you do. Will Howard smiling at Shane Gillis's Michigan jab, sitting there at the ESPYs a couple of nights ago. I like Will Howard. 6th-round pick, though. Are you really ready to throw him the keys? I don't root for injuries, but if Rodgers somehow can't make it through September or October or November, yeah, then you toss the keys to Will Howard and then you see what you have. But somewhere in the middle, i.e. status quo for the Steelers, after all this cash spent, the Steelers are in no way the Bengals. They're in no way the Bengals in terms of cash spending. But like the Bengals, they don't like making guarantees more than 1 year out. They have done that here with DK. And they have done that here with TJ. They have to win this year. I hate the pressure word in our business because everybody in this business, the NFL business that is, has pressure. Every single position. From the QC, meaning the quality control, glorified coaching interns that do a lot of the prep work for the coaches. They cut up film, although it's not actually cutting film these days. It's digital editing. It's all like those guys that prepare the play sheets and do all the back end work for the coaches. From QCs all the way up to ownership, there is unspeakable pressure on everybody. Broadcasters, everybody. It is a pressure job. It is the biggest stage in American sport and entertainment. It is a pressure job. So I hate to say, oh, a lot of pressure on this team this week. Yeah, no bleep. Okay? Yeah, sure. Yeah. And it'll be that way Sunday or Monday or Thursday or Saturday in December. Every week, every game. Mm-hmm. But with the Steelers, there is more this year. Because it does mean more this year. Because they are at the fork in the road and they chose to go that way, which is spend all the money and try to win. Well, they're all trying to win. Yeah, but they're really trying to win this year. And if it don't work, there will be a teardown. You can only tear it down so much. You can't like get rid of DK. You just paid him. Things like there's only so many moves you truly can make. But it will be a total, what was that show? Like Total Home Makeover?
Extreme Home Makeover.
Extreme Home Makeover, yeah. Team Edition. Yep. That's what it will be. Now let's tie it to the Cowboys. Because Micah Parsons has still not gotten paid. And Jerry Jones has said for years, I don't care, man. Or weeks or months, whatever. I'm going to wait. I waited with Dak. I waited with CD. I'm going to wait with him. Who cares? Okay. Well, I guess you like burning money because you could have had this deal done and you waited. Now, takes two to party. Takes two to tango. Micah might have wanted to wait, but here's what's going to happen. Where's the whole my reporting list? Dallas. July 21. Okay, so what's today? Monday.
18th.
On Monday, the Cowboys veterans report here to Southern California.
Oxnard.
Oxnard, up the 101 parking lot. And Micah will be there. He'll report. And I do not expect Micah Parsons to practice on your field or on your television anytime soon. And I wouldn't either. You can do the old hold in.
Nope.
TJ Watt did it a few years ago before his previous contract.
Yeah.
So he will, I'm guessing, hold in and he will wait. And if the APY was 41 for TJ, then this will have to be 41.5. At a minimum, or 41.1. It'll have to beat TJ. You look at this two ways. Hey, we have the template now. Just beat that by a dollar, and the Cowboys can do the deal right now. They could, actually. Like, at this very moment, you can do this deal. Right? Maybe you add a little bit of a premium because Micah's, like, 25 as opposed to, like, in his 30s. Micah's an ascending player. There are some around the league that think TJ had a step back last year when it came to his play. But they could do the deal right now. I don't think they will. I think it's going to take a while. And I think this is going to become a thing again. As for Trey Hendrickson, no player has more sacks collectively the last 2 years than Trey Hendrickson. He should get paid. The Bengals are not going to give him $108 million guaranteed. I will walk home. It's only about like 4 or 5 miles. It's not that bad of a walk. I will walk home if they give him $108 million guaranteed. So I love doing the show. I could actually ride my bike here. And I don't mean the Mike Del Tufo motorized cheapo. By the way, I saw him again like 2 weeks ago. Like,
he told us.
Hey, yeah. Hey. It's like just like waving his arms. Okay. Yeah, they're not going to do it. Well, why don't you trade him for a one? Because nobody was going to give you a one. How about a two? I don't think anybody was going to give you a two. I like Trey Hendrickson a lot. He's not viewed the same way as TJ Watt, sadly, around the league. He's not viewed the same way as Myles Garrett or Micah Parsons. He's a heck of a player. His stats will tell you that. Just turn to the film. It will tell you that. He's not viewed the same way. No one has given you those picks. So my question for Tom Pelissero coming up shortly. When does the stalemate end in Cincinnati? And would Trey Hendrickson actually miss games? NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero answers that question and gives you a Micah Parsons price tag. That's coming up. It is the Rich Eisen Show. Look at that handsome, well-dressed man. I mean, me. And Tom's coming up next as well.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can also test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? Well, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. I know, because it's happened to me. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal check for traffic and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details. This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Navy Federal can help you find and finance the right vehicle with ease. And this summer, you're in the driver's seat with savings. You could get a $250 bonus when you buy your next car through Navy Federal's car buying service powered by TrueCar and finance with Navy Federal. With this tool, you can find the vehicle that's right for you as you search through inventory and compare models. And you can get an amazing rate when you finance with Navy Federal. Navy Federal strives to support all active duty veterans and their families to achieve their personal and financial goals. And this partnership with TrueCar is one of the many tools Navy Federal uses to help its members. Make your plan with Navy Federal and TrueCar today. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. To qualify for the $250 bonus, car purchase and financing must be completed by September 2nd, 2025. Terms and conditions apply and are available at NavyFederal.org/TrueCar. Credit and collateral subject to approval. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA.
So I played 11 years.
Yes, you did.
They've been to the Super Bowl 9 times.
Damn.
And I didn't get there once.
Right.
Think about that.
Right.
And I was one pick away from being drafted by the Patriots.
What happened?
The Chargers drafted.
No, I know but I know that's what happened. They didn't come up and get you.
So I went on a visit to the Patriots, and that's when Charlie Weiss was the offense coordinator. Mm-hmm. And I go to Boston, and I really liked the visit. I like Charlie. I love Charlie Weiss.
Did you meet with Bill?
I did meet with Bill. You know, we sat in his office right above the stadium, right there where you're looking out at the stadium. And we really just sat there. We really didn't talk about much. We just looked at each other.
And, what do you mean? So, what do you mean you just looked at each other?
Just kind of staring in each other's eyes, you know, I guess.
So you're saying it was awkward?
I mean, you know how Bill is. There's only a few things he probably wants to know about you. And I guess he was trying to get a sense of, you know, was I passionate about football? As most coaches do. You're going to invest a first-round pick on a guy. You want to make sure they're passionate.
Do you think they would have chosen you if you were available?
Well, they said they were going to choose me. Charlie Weiss promised me if I was there at 6, because they needed a running back. They needed a running back bad that year. And so, when the Chargers drafted me, I think they took Richard Seymour.
Well, I mean, they worked out there. Have you ever brought up to Brady when you've seen him?
No, never brought it up.
You could have been Robin, his Batman.
I always thought about, you know, what would that be like?
With all due respect to Antoine Smith, all due respect.
Yeah, I know, right?
To Antoine Smith.
I know. Would have been a little different.
A little different.
No way.
Yeah.
I'm kind of getting freaked out.
Great LaDainian Tomlinson back in the day there. Hi, it's Andrew sitting in for Rich, who is back, I'm told, on Monday, reveling in his improving golf game. He will be back soon. So as expected, TJ Watt got his another bag, $108 million guaranteed. Although as I said earlier, the big number here, the number that you is out there for the press so that people care about is the APY, the $41 million average per year. Myles Garrett got 40. TJ Watt got 41. And as we welcome in friend of the program and a man who hosts this show as well when Rich is not here, the great Tom Pelissero of NFL Network. Great to see you, sir.
I'm in peace.
Great to see you, although you look like color bars on my end. So I assume you look great as usual, Andrew. What's up to my boys in studio?
They're all
yes, color bars, which is a name for a band. It would be great. I would assume that the number for Micah Parsons needs to be like 41.1 or 41.5. And they could do this deal, Tom, before we get off the air today, hypothetically, couldn't they?
It'll be higher than that.
Okay, so let's say 42.
According to Jerry Jones himself, they had a handshake deal done back in March, but that ended up not getting finalized. A big piece of this is always the Cowboys want to do longer deals, strong cash flow up front, but then buy up team-friendly years on the back end of the contract. Mike has got a very experienced agent, David Mulugeta, whose name I'm sure by now Jerry Jones knows. who prefers to do shorter deals. And so I don't know that at this point there's necessarily a rush based upon the fact that in Mike and Jerry's conversation, they knew where the number was going to be. It was always going to be north of 40. I believe it was always going to be north of 41. The real issue here is what does the structure look like and what is the length of the deal? I anticipate, and I know the Cowboys anticipate Mike is showing up to Oxnard on time next week. Whether or not he practices remains an open question. He surprised them by actually doing some things back in OTAs in the spring that he did not have to do at that time. You know, and then also you've got a couple other situations looming out there as well. In my mind, the Micah Parsons number was always going to be north of this. It was going to be closer in all likelihood to 45 than it was to 40. You've got
wait. 45.
I'm not saying it will be 45. I'm saying closer to 45 than 40 was likely the number, just because Micah is younger than Myles Garrett. Obviously, Myles is an unbelievably accomplished player, perennial defensive player of the year candidate. But just based upon how these deals tend to go and how the markets tend to work, if a roughly 30-year-old player gets 40 and now a soon-to-be 31-year-old player gets 41 – what does that mean for, I think Mike is 26, a 26-year-old Micah Parsons? And then Aiden Hutchinson is another one. He's coming off of a obviously significant injury. Everything seems like it's all systems go. He's in a different spot because they don't have to necessarily do something. But if the Lions want to get ahead of the market, and once Micah gets out there in training camp, once Aiden gets out there in training camp and looks like himself, maybe the Lions try to jump in here too, just because Micah's deal is all likely going to blow this out of the water. And all that is with the backdrop of Trey Hendrickson, who is almost exactly the same age as TJ Watt, has not been asking for upwards of $40 million. The Bengals, to this point, have not wanted to do the type of multi-year commitment in terms of an extension with Trey Hendrickson that he wants. And there's a fair argument. I'm not saying that, you know, now this adjusts the expectations or anything else. But if TJ Watt, who has been, you know, more beat up physically, did not produce as well down the stretch last season, had fewer sacks than Trey Hendrickson, is the same age. If he's getting 41, why would Trey Hendrickson not be right in that same type of a bandwidth? You know, so there's a bunch of different interconnected parts. We talked about this, Andrew, on Super Bowl Sunday on NFL Network, that this was going to be the offseason of the pass rusher. You saw Max Crosby, Myles Garrett, Danielle Hunter get their deals early in the offseason. Now you see TJ Watt. The big pieces remaining are Micah Parsons, who I believe that that one ultimately will get done. I said a couple of weeks ago on this show, TJ Watt will get done before training camp in all likelihood, and it'll be north of Myles Garrett. That part happened. Micah Parsons, I would tell you, was always going to be north even of this number. I still anticipate that gets done prior to the start of the regular season, but it may not be in the structure that the Cowboys want. Aiden Hutchinson, we'll see when they decide to, you know, put the pedal to the metal here. He's got no reason to be in a rush himself. And then Trey Hendrickson is the one that's, of course, been the ugliest of all these. Yes, TJ Watt also skipped minicamp, but Trey Hendrickson has literally shown up during a practice and held a press conference about how ticked off he is with the organization. Are we going to get another one of those as the Bengals get set to report to training camp next week? I know Trey's been up in that area, you know, doing community work and things like that. It's entirely possible. That's the one that's the most curious in this, particularly because, again, for anybody who doubted that a pass rusher on the wrong side of age 30, as it historically has been, could get $40+ million. Well, TJ Watt just disproved that. And if anything, the Trey Hendrickson price, you would think just logically now has to go up.
Yeah, let's unpack that one, because to me, Trey Hendrickson is the most fascinating of them all. I agree with you, Micah. Look, the Cowboys report to what used to be the Residence Inn in Oxnard on Monday. Whatever, he'll be there, and when he practices, call me when he does. Trey Hendrickson, though, I wouldn't be stunned, Tom, if he doesn't show up. He's actually 2 months younger than TJ Watt. I don't think people realize that. And the last 2 years collectively, the 23 and 24 seasons, nobody has more sacks in the NFL than Trey Hendrickson. Nobody has more sacks. Yet.
Yeah. And listen, TJ's pushed through a lot. Okay. I don't mean to minimize what TJ Watt has done. But if you just look at the injury report, you know, he's had some pretty significant types of injuries. Look down the stretch of last season. If memory serves, I don't believe TJ Watt registered a sack in the Steelers' last three games last year, including the playoff game. And the whole defense didn't play well. Obviously, you know, there's all kinds of issues that Pittsburgh had, which is why now they've revamped the roster the way that they have. But Trey Hendrickson is a guy who, remember, a year ago, back in the summer of 2024, requested a trade and then ultimately showed up and went through it because the Bengals had challenged him, according to Hendrickson, to say, hey, go out and do it again, and then we'll get the contract addressed. Well, he goes out and leaves the league in sacks, yet here we are talking about whether or not they should make a multi-year extension offer to a guy who remains one of the most productive players. TJ Watt just got $108 million fully guaranteed. Trey Hendrickson has not been asking for $108 million fully guaranteed. He hasn't been asking for over $40 million per year. To this point, the Bengals have not been willing to give him what he is asking for. Do the Bengals move at this point? Does this get even uglier? A trade is hard to imagine, because when they actually did at least explore that and accept calls before the draft, nobody was willing to offer him a first-round pick. There's still a lot of different directions that one could go. Obviously, Trey Hendrickson means a lot to the Bengals' hopes, you would think, in 2025, particularly at a time that they're still going through it with their first-round pick as well.
Yeah, and you kind of went where I wanted to go, and that is with Hendrickson and TJ Watt. So you have the Bengals here who have the Shamar Stewart thing hanging over their head. They wrote the check for Jamar Chase. Before that, they had written checks for Joe Burrow and Orlando Brown, Brown coming from Kansas City. That had been a big check in free agency a couple of years ago as well. T. Higgins got that deal. It's not as much guaranteed beyond year one as I think a lot of people think, but regardless, they wrote a check. They signed both those guys. They denied all the skeptics there, and they got those deals done. Mike Brown is not one to just like open up the cash spigot and say, hey, here's more cash for all of you, Trey Hendrickson included. He is one to tell you, hey, I have a deal and you have a contract and you're going to show up and you're going to play. So I guess my question is, if the league doesn't, whether it's fair or not, see Trey Hendrickson the same way they see TJ Watt, and some of that is media creation and the Steelers, everything with that. I get that. And we're past the draft, to your point. So a deal right now doesn't seem likely. It doesn't help the Bengals this year. Is there a scenario in which Trey Hendrickson goes Carson Palmer, where Trey Hendrickson goes, you know what? I am the latest in the line of Bengals big name guys who later in their career, throw Andrew Whitworth in there as well. He eventually sucked it up and then he went to LA and he wrote the next chapter in his career. But is Trey Hendrickson the guy, Tom Pelissero, to go, you know what? I am willing to sit at home.
He's already said he's not playing on this contract.
Yeah.
He said that directly when he showed up in May to an open to the media practice, walked onto the practice field dressed in like khakis and a polo shirt and said, I'm not coming in for that. So I do not anticipate. Listen, all these things are fluid, Andrew. We've seen things that seem to be going one way, and then they all of a sudden the pendulum swings back. I do not believe without a new contract that Trey Hendrickson is reporting. I think they're a next Tuesday report date for the veterans. I don't think that he is there throughout the course of the preseason without a new contract, at least up until the point that he would need to play. And it would not surprise me. I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm not putting words in Trey Hendrickson's mouth, because I am absolutely certain that more words will come out of Trey Hendrickson's mouth if it keeps going on like this. But I would absolutely not be surprised if he sits out games. You know, you're talking about missing $1 million per game check, but you're also talking about a guy who this is his time to get one more really big bite at the apple. He's determined to get that. So stay tuned on the Trey Hendrickson situation. It has not seemed like this was a deal that was like impossible to do. They're not on completely different pages in terms of like what the money would be, but the Bengals have not moved the way that Trey Hendrickson would want to move. We know what he wants. He's said it publicly, Andrew. He wants a multi-year extension. He wants a multi-year commitment from the Bengals after that one-year extension he did a couple of years ago. He doesn't want to go down that road again. He doesn't want to kick the can and have to address this again in 2026. The Bengals are saying this is what we are willing to do. Eventually somebody has to blink, and I don't anticipate that at least in the next few days here it's going to be Trey Hendrickson.
All right, rookies reporting for a lot of teams. The teams in for the Hall of Fame game already have their team, like, I mean, Jim Harbaugh, like 5 feet from where we sit right now, has his Chargers on the field. And then his whole thing yesterday about like catching 22 foul balls, like, was just bonkers. We'll play that later.
Interestingly, the Chargers, yeah, they had their rookies in a week ago. Yeah. The Lions, who are the other team in the Hall of Fame game, are not reporting yet. They don't come in until tomorrow. It's always an interesting strategy, because I've talked to people within the league. Several people out of nowhere, just coaches, have said, oh man, I talked to my buddies with the Chargers, I can't believe they're already in camp. There is some of that belief among certain coaches within the league that it's such a long season already. Now you had the Hall of Fame game. Now you're weeks out from that. Now you're bringing in the rookies even earlier, that you're going to wear people out. Obviously, the Lions had some level of concern about that by delaying even by a few days their report date here. But we also know Jim Harbaugh, more is more. You know, he can't wait to get back to work. I mean, he gave like 7 different metaphors yesterday, Andrew.
Yeah, sure, and they were all biblical, too.
It's the birth of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He went from any number of other things here.
Birth of Jesus to catching foul balls in an empty Tiger Stadium upper deck as a kid. It was an all-timer. It was a roller coaster. And yeah, and the Hall of Fame game is 2 weeks from yesterday. So we're still a full 2 weeks away. But as teams report and as rookies report and as the second round picks start finally signing, that dam has broken. Tom, there's the speculation, or the thought at least, that Quinshon Judkins, who was arrested last week in Ohio with a domestic violence allegation, the Browns' second round pick, the 36th overall pick, and their second round pick beyond Carson Schwessinger, who is signed and is ready to report here, that he will not be there today for the Browns as he focuses on his legal issues. What can you tell us about that?
Well, there's some moving parts here, Andrew, because you've got an active domestic violence case in the state of Florida. There have been documents that have been released on that. By all indications, not only do you have documentation of injuries suffered by the woman who identified herself as in a relationship with Quinshon Judkins, but presumably you also have photos, you have other evidence. The NFL usually waits for the legal system to render anything in terms of a suspension. However, it's written into the collective bargaining agreement that if the commissioner believes that a violation, if the evidence leads the commissioner to believe that a violation likely occurred, then they can use the exempt list to take him off the field. In other words, Andrew, if Quinshon Judkins were to show up, sign his contract, the NFL, as soon as today, could go, actually, no, you're not going to be on the field. So it really behooves everyone to exercise some level of patience. We've not seen any statements, any quotes, anything from Quinshon Judkins or his agent to this point. We know one side of the story, which is what the woman told police in a, you know, partially in a 911 call that was also released. And then in terms of the document here, he was arrested. He was charged with misdemeanor domestic violence. It's certainly a serious case. The NFL many times, virtually every time, has rendered greater discipline than the criminal justice system, even when ultimately there's no finding of any type of guilt in terms of the judicial system here. So again, a lot of different moving parts with Quinshon Judkins. It would make sense that the Browns want him to focus on that because, again, Andrew, even if he showed up, even if they did the deal, and by the way, at 36, that would be the next slot that potentially would be fully guaranteed. It would not make a whole lot of sense for him to show up right now. For the Browns, it would be the proverbial distraction. Obviously, it's more serious than that. I'm not trying to minimize that. For Quinshon Judkins, it might just lead to him going on the exempt list, from which, Andrew, there's no sign. It's not like that's a finite thing. He could end up on that for a long period of time. Taking their time moving forward here, is probably the best course of action. While the NFL, again, continues to review whatever facts, and knowing that ultimately whatever the final outcome is from the NFL's perspective, that part probably doesn't even happen until after this has run its course in the legal system.
And talking to Tom Pelissero, have about a minute left here. So the story, Tom, deserves more than a minute, but let's boil it down because that's the point of the question. When the average fan hears last night that the head of the union, the NFLPA, Lloyd Howell, resigns, and honestly, it's midsummer and they couldn't care less about conflicts of interest with private equity and all of that and collusion. Like, the average fan is on summer vacation. And when you tell them, oh my God, did you see this? They're like, all right, well, how does it affect me as the average fan? Or how does it affect the game that I love? My first reaction is, well, when you have negotiation on a longer season, which we all believe that is inevitable, there will be a new person in charge on the other side of the table. Beyond that, why should the average fan spend a lot of time thinking about Lloyd Howell?
Well, at this point, Lloyd Howell has removed himself from the situation, which is obviously an unfortunate ending that nobody expected when about roughly 2 years ago he was named to that post to succeed Demoris Smith, who had been close to two decades in the executive director post. You know, there are parallels here, Andrew, and this is probably as close as I'll ever get to mentioning politics here or anywhere else, but there are parallels that I see to Elon Musk and the Department of Government Efficiency. When Lloyd Howell was hired, it was because of his business acumen, and this is based upon quotes from executive committee members, J.C. Treader at the time. They wanted him. They thought that they had an overly bloated business. There were obviously a ton of long-term employees. They thought that they could be more streamlined. They thought they could be more efficient. And so there were dozens, some of them longtime NFL Players Association employees, who suddenly were no longer employed by the union. Well, what happens when dozens of longtime employees are no longer working someplace? There might be one or two of them that might not be happy with that. And suddenly you begin to have blowback that, rightly or wrongly, and in leaks and other things that are directed at the person who ultimately was in charge. And that person just decides to say, you know what, I don't need this. I'm going to do something else. That is a story, Andrew, that I think for anybody who has followed the federal government over the last 6 months can understand some of the parallels to that here. I would say why people should care is because sometime in the next 5 years, and I would say sooner than later, there are going to be negotiations on a new collective bargaining agreement. It potentially, quite likely, will include a negotiation over going to an 18-game regular season schedule. It will include the possibility of ripping up the various broadcasting deals, extending them, continuing to rethink them at a time that they've become more fragmented, obviously, to different streaming services and things. And ultimately, you're hoping, if you're a football fan, that there's no disruption. And who the NFLPA names to that post is going to have a heavy hand in exactly what direction things go. Lloyd Howell, again, came from a business background. He was a businessman. He was not a former trial lawyer, a federal prosecutor like Demoris Smith, who was, again, you can argue this either way, rightly or wrongly, but he did not mind confrontation. He was not afraid to fire back when you would see quotes. You didn't see that from Lloyd Howell. He felt the best way was do deals. And he did a lot of small deals, side deals and things to try to improve various aspects of the CBA while also having an eye to potentially opening up that agreement sooner than later. In the short term, the Board of Representatives at some point, possibly as soon as today, is going to meet. They're going to have to take steps to name an interim executive director, which there's no clause in the CBA or the NFLPA constitution for what happens if the executive director steps down. There are a few logical candidates, people who are or have been with the union. Tom DePasso, who's been the longtime head of, he's done a lot of things on the salary cap side, the legal side. He would be a potential option, but he was one of those people who was cycling out and was not going to be with the union after the end of this year. Don Davis is another one who's been on the player affairs side. And then George Atala, who up until a few months ago was the assistant executive director of external affairs, I think was his title. He was essentially the number two in many ways in command to Demoris Smith. He left the NFLPA. He's one of the few people outside of D. Smith who know all the ins and outs of it. I could see any of those three people being potential candidates to allow the executive committee, and however they decide to run this process, to run a thorough, quite possibly more transparent process than they ran with Lloyd Howell, to find the right person to set them up. Because as much as 5 years, Andrew, is a lifetime here,
yep,
in terms of, you know, how many seasons and how many of the guys that are even in the league now are going to be in the league by 2030. But for a football fan, if you're thinking 5 years out, that is not a long way to avoid work stoppages, ugliness. You want to know that the train is going to keep moving forward here. And so the person hired is going to be very, very important. But for the next 6 months, Andrew, I would imagine, yes, the attention for most people watching the show certainly is going to turn to the action on the field.
Yeah, but that's coming quickly. And there's another guy on the other side of the table. The other guy on the other side of the camera is Tom Pelissero, the great NFL Network insider. Have a wonderful weekend, sir. We appreciate you. Tom Pelissero, yeah, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Hey, that's the spirit. Right now, we're celebrating free with a free STP oil filter when you buy 5 quarts of oil and free Duralast brake pads when you buy 2 rotors. Like always, free battery testing, charging, and recycling at every store. Celebrate free at AutoZone, now through July 28th.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
All right, first one up, Brian Cranston. True or false, one of your first gigs was a Preparation H commercial. True or false?
Oh, come on. That is false. Oh, gosh.
Look at that photo. That's very Roy Scheider.
Isn't it?
Don't you look right there? If I could peg it.
Roy Scheider, really good.
What do you think?
Or what's that talk show host who had those big red glasses? What's her
Sally
name?
Jesse Raphael.
Sally Jesse Raphael.
Sally Jesse Raphael. Good call.
That was good.
Good call. Yeah.
So what happened? This is truly.
It's called a job, Rich. I know you haven't been job hunting in a while. Oh, Mr. Employment, steady employment guy. Well, you're not, you know, actors. You gotta say yes. Well, this was at least.
Yes.
I was a spokesperson. I wasn't afflicted by hemorrhoids.
You know what?
Well, in real life, I am, but not in. Yeah,
if I was afflicted, I would trust you to give me the right advice.
I would put that ointment on and go, here we go. Let's take care of this little problem.
I didn't mean the administering of the operation. I just meant the advice of, like, you should try.
I'm a full-service spokesperson. We don't just stop with talking about it. Come on.
Is that why you brought your alcohol as
yes,
well?
I bring my alcohol so I can soak my finger. It kills. It just kills everything.
True or false, you did your own stunts on Malcolm in the Middle, including wearing a suit of 10,000 live bees.
That also is false. Okay. That never happened. Oh, God.
You keep on having the photo booth. Yes. But those are real?
Those are real. That's 10,000, I forget how many the count it was, but they would extract the
pheromones
yes.
from the queen, and they would put the droplets all over me, wherever they wanted the bees to go.
Yes.
Then they'd open up the traveling chutes, and the bees would just start swarming. And they swarm forever. In order for them to stay off my face so the camera could recognize me,
yes.
you take a little of the, you know, the bug spray, uh-huh. off or whatever, and they put it all over my face there so that they would crawl, oh, no, I don't want that, and they'd get off it. But it was about 2 inches thick of bees. So I got stung once in the shoulder when they were getting them off. But once when I was doing that whole thing and I had to stand very still, one got between my legs.
Hey now.
And I got stung and I said, oh, I think I got stung. Because when you're wearing bees, Rich, the chance of being stung is pretty high.
Yes.
You're wearing bees, for God's sake. So, but what I realized is that the sting of a bee is not really painful. It is mostly the shock that gets you. But when you're wearing bees and you get stung, it was literally, did I get stung? I did get stung, and the beekeeper comes over ready with a little credit card thing and a thing to scoop it out. He goes, where is it? I go, in my scrotum. And he goes, can't help you.
You're on your own.
That's exactly what he did. Can't help you.
Great stuff on the flashback there with Bryan Cranston. Right, like the old Preparation H stuff. Turn on the TV last night. Hi, it's the Rich Eisen Show. I'm Andrew. Just tying it in on the Roku side here, showing some Bryan Cranston. I turned it on and I see car insurance being sold to me by Ludacris and Danica Patrick. Have you guys seen that spot?
Yeah, is that a
it's safe, like a car a State warranty Farm thing?
Oh no, not right? that one.
Yeah,
Luda,
like. Very calmly, not like the Luda that we saw Tuesday in Atlanta
that was
during
great.
The All-Star game, which was awesome.
It was awesome. Just
Luda and Danica Patrick, like, you know. Yeah,
what you hysterical. Got in that bag.
All right, the golf. Open Championship.
Yes.
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 Chris Brockman.
Andrew.
Brian Harman atop the leaderboard right now. He shot a 69 at a 65. He is at 8 under.
Yeah. But he was the 2023 champ, Brian Harman. He does outstanding in these conditions. A lot of weather over there in Northern Ireland right now.
Shocker.
A lot of wind, a lot of rain. We got a three-way tie atop. Haotong Lee, the Chinese golfer, he is on 18 right now. He's 4 under today. Matthew Fitzpatrick, the 22 U.S. Open winner, he's also 8 open. Scotty Scheffler looming 1 back.
Joe Thomas coming up next, Hall of Famer.
Yeah, leaderboard is starting to jam up with a bunch of heavy hitters. Robert McIntyre, he won the Scottish Open last year. He is 3 back. He's sitting there at 5 under. Tyrrell Hatton, he had a great performance at the U.S. Open at Oakmont a month ago. He shot a 69 today. Nice. He's 3 back at 5 under. Harris English, Tony Finau, all these guys are looming. Keegan Bradley, a lot of speculation. If Keegan maybe top 10s, he'll have enough points to qualify automatically for the Ryder Cup. Would he go on and pick himself, step aside so he can play? That storyline is going to heat up. Rory McIlroy, also a 69 today, Jay.
Nice.
He is 3 under, 5 back.
You know what's nuts is, so I'm right now, as you're going through the leaderboard, I'm reading along here, pgatour.com/leaderboard. Shows you how the world has changed. You guys know this, but just this is another example. And on the leaderboard here, it says, like, for example, Brian Harman, 8 under through. He's done. He's in the clubhouse. You know, 6 under on the day, 8 under overall, has a 69 and 65, 134 nice. Strokes, all that. The FedEx stuff there. And then the final column on the far right, odds to win.
Odds.
And then with a green arrow or a red arrow, meaning they're up and down.
Yes, sir.
Odds to win on PGAtour.com. Like, we're talking real-time odds.
Yeah,
and it's like that across the board. Any
official
game,
partner with FanDuel.
Anything you watch, obviously, has those real-time odds on the bottom of the screen. This is not some big revelation. Just the first time that I have seen it here on PGAtour.com, and it was like, oh, wow. Oh, wow, look at that.
Yeah.
different world we live in these days. But hey, it's a world in which we ended the All-Star game with a wacky home run derby.
It was cool.
And it was awesome.
It was great.
It was fun. Now, it would have been great if Shohei and Aaron Judge weren't already at 35,000 feet, passed out on their private jet. Right. Right? That yeah. would have been a little more
would have been
fun.
A little cooler, but...
Like, I didn't need David Aranda, who's a nice player, with his 21 career home runs.
That was so dismissive. He's a nice player.
He's a nice player. But 21 career home runs instead of Aaron Judge.
Cal Raleigh in his 38.
Instead of Cal Raleigh, season. Who, understandably, Cal Raleigh's exhausted.
Exhausted.
Probably can't lift his arms above his head after Monday night.
Probably.
And that was an amazing moment. And how about his brother, who they say is 15 but looks 24?
He was a giant.
Right? I know. Right?
Yeah.
But, like... I mean, if we do the home run derby again, could we do it with players we know?
Yeah.
We know this guy, Joe Thomas, coming up.
Jim Rome takes on sports.
Why? Because you're not playing me.
With rapid fire takes.
And a lot to get to, and I'm not sure you're going to like all of it. Honestly, I don't even care if you like all of it or not. I have a job to do.
Scorching debates.
On any given week, you have lots to beef about. Take advantage of it. Get up in here.
He's the spitfire of sports smack.
She's not my fault. We will get to all of that.
The Jim Rome Show podcast.
Get up in here, and we'll beef later on. What's your beef?
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
You've been warned.